Hello, everybody. This is Ken Ainge.
And Jane Nelson.
And welcome to Focusing on Solutions from PositiveDiscipline.com. Now, you have several tools or methods that you teach in positive discipline. If you had to choose just one as your favorite or most important tool, what would that be?
Well, that's not going to be easy, but I will do it in a minute. But first, I just want to give a little introduction because I just taught a seven-week class that I haven't done in many, many years. And when I first started out by telling them that we're going to be learning tools that are no punishment, no rewards, no praise, and it's like they're looking like deer in headlights about, well, then what are you going to do? And we do teach a lot of tools. And if I did have to narrow it down, it would be to family meetings or class meetings for teachers. And the reason I would choose that, though, is that it still incorporates a lot of the other tools, so I'm being a little sneaky here. For one thing, it would include that you really listen to children, that you respect them, that you get them involved, that they are learning listening skills and communication skills, and that they're focusing on solutions. And one of the things about that is that parents, it will not work if parents or teachers use the family meetings as just another way to lecture and to control. But if they really do get kids involved and listen to them and say, what are your ideas? And let's brainstorm for solutions to whatever the problem is. When you think about how many skills children are learning for life, it's just so, so valuable.
Do you want to go over real quickly an outline of what a family meeting would be like, and how it would start and what the steps are?
Yes, and also I would like to mention that we will have a link for this. It's why family meetings, and it lists a lot of these things so people don't have to worry about taking notes. But it starts with compliments, and I think this is so important to teach. Well, let's just focus on family meetings for now because class meetings is very much the same and a little different. But to teach family members how to start looking for good things to say about each other and to verbalizing their appreciations and their compliments is very valuable. And it sets the tone.
So you get together as a family and you say, okay, your turn. And each person compliments each member of the family on something that's happened, say, that week.
Exactly. And so they start watching because, first, I think we should say that family meetings happen once a week regularly. It's like one of the most important dates you can schedule. And kids know that they're going to be scheduled. And I should also mention that kids can do this from about 4 years on. And it's so before we get into more of the schedule, which I'll come back to, but I just want to talk about how important it is that this is the age where children really are wanting to use their thinking skills and their problem-solving skills, and they get very rebellious when all their power is taken away from them because parents are always telling them what to do and why to do it and how to do it. So it really invites more cooperation. And so the other thing is that the next thing is that you go over the agenda, and the agenda is a piece of paper usually that families put on the refrigerator where when everyone has a problem, they can go put it on the agenda. The other thing I like about it is if I see kids having a problem, I could say, which one of you would be willing to put this on the agenda?
And the advantage of that is that you don't have to deal with the issue right then when maybe tempers are flaring or there's time pressures. You can say, well, that's a great problem that we need to have. Let's put it on the agenda.
That is such an important point because this is one of the big mistakes that parents make when they think they can handle a problem at the time of conflict when everybody's in their reptilian brain and nobody's listening and it's the fight-flight response. And so that's another really good point is because it serves as a cooling-off period. And people are usually willing to go put it on the agenda because they say, okay, we will get back to it later. And then when it comes up, everybody goes around the circle. It's fun sometimes to have a talking stick to really teach that only the person with the talking stick is their turn to talk. And you have somebody who's recording whatever ideas people have, and you come up with as many ideas to solve a problem as you can. And then you choose one that will work for everyone. And that's you do have to come to a consensus in a family, and that's what's really helpful. Or maybe just one person had a problem that they needed help with. They can look at the brainstormed list, and they can choose the one that they think will help them the most. But I think as you take a look at this, you can see how much more it would invite cooperation because children are being listened to, taken seriously. Their thoughts and ideas are being valued. They're learning thinking skills. They're learning to focus on solutions. And then they're much more accountable and motivated to follow suggestions that they've had a part in creating.
So, and then what's the next step they do?
Oh, the last step is that they do something fun together as a family. And when they're little, they might like to play some little game or cook together or have a dessert together.
A treat, like root beer floats or something.
Exactly. You remember those. We did that.
Yeah.
And it can be even to just sit and have popcorn together or to play a game, depending on the ages of the kids. But you also can take time to plan a big family outing. That could be a step, actually, before the family fun, is to say, okay, let's get out the family calendar and let's plan something for fun once a month, a family vacation, whatever it is.
Yeah, I know as kids get older, it's almost like if you do this, it's the only time that the family is all together all at once. Because, you know, when you get older kids, you know, they're working and going to school and parents are working. And so if you're able to schedule this time, you know, for a lot of families, that may be the only time that everybody's all together at the one time to talk about issues.
I know. And that's why you find a time that everyone can get together. And I remember at one time in one stage of our family when Bill Cosby was very popular, the Bill Cosby show. And so we all wanted to be there for that. So we agreed we'd have our family meeting a half hour before the Bill Cosby show. So everybody would be there. Now, as kids get older, sometimes they don't think they don't want to do family meetings. And so I can remember when kids got teenagers and I'd say, okay, well, it's important to me. We'll shorten them if you want, but it's very important that we do them. And this fun story about that is that Mary, who had been complaining about family meetings when she was a teenager, and then she went over and stayed overnight with a friend, and she came back the next day and said, that family is so screwed up. They should be having family meetings. So it's like, if you just make it something that's very, very important. And I'd like to give a real short example. I have so many examples of family meetings and how effective they can be. But I remember, one of the things you teach is we're not looking for blame. We're looking for solutions. And you have to be careful what you teach your kids because they come back at you. So one day I came home and I saw dishes in the sink and I said, who left their dishes in the sink? And Mark says, are you looking for blame or are you looking for solutions? And that's where I have to say, okay, thank you, Mark, you're right. Well, let's put it on the agenda and we'll talk about dishes in the sink. And first of all, nobody would say they did it. So we said, okay, we'll just talk about nobody's dishes because obviously nobody did it. So you need to use your sense of humor. And they all brainstormed what the conclusion we came to is that everybody would take a turn one night a week picking up nobody's dishes. But just because we had talked about it that way and got everybody involved, everybody was more aware and there were very few dishes left in the sink after that.
Now, we've developed an ebook, an online product to assist families with family meetings.
And that's very helpful. And so what do we charge? Only $2.97? Or
something like that. It's very cheap. It's 30 or 40 pages. Why don't you go ahead and describe the ebook?
Well, one of the things is that we created a cover that has a family on it, but anybody could print that out and paste their own family picture on it and then put it on a three-ring binder. But the thing that is so nice about this is if you keep track of what goes on at your family meetings, it can be as much fun as looking at family albums. We have a bunch of sheets that people can then print out over and over again, like the agenda for the week, that they can just print that out, put it on the refrigerator, do it in three-hole punch so that they can slip it in. It also has a lot of other activities like family mottos and teaching about mistakes as opportunities to learn. And there's just many ideas for having successful meetings. And a lot of the pages, the compliments pages, that can be printed out over and over again. And like I say, it's not a big long one. And I think it does only have 30 pages. And some of them they can use over and over.
And you can find that on the empoweringpeople.com website. Just look for the downloads section and you'll see it right there at the bottom of the page.
And one of the things that we would love to hear is other people's success stories. And I'm going to do a little article on family meetings for the blog. Where did they go find the blog?
Now the blog is at blog.positivediscipline.com.
They don't have to put that HTTP stuff on that there.
It should just go right there. There's also a link on the podcast page and on the main page of positivediscipline.com.
Okay, because one of the things that I would love is if people would go to that blog and where they can respond. and then everybody could read it. But I would love to start collecting as many success stories or even questions. You know, sometimes I'll do questions and answers on the blog, and but it's a way for people to share what they've found is working as well.
Okay, well, that's great. Well, anything else you want to add?
I think that does it for today. I just hope that a lot of people have very successful family meetings that help their kids learn some valuable social and life skills and that starts a tradition of that family togetherness.
Okay, so until next time, this is Ken Ainge.
And Jane Nelson.
For Focusing on Solutions from PositiveDiscipline.com.
Hey, I'm Bonnie Raitt. Remember how excited you were as a kid to go back to school at the end of the summer? Seeing old friends, making new ones, getting new books in a new locker, a clean slate. And music class, that special room where you went to sing and perform with your friends and learn all sorts of interesting stuff about great composers and instruments and different kinds of music. We remember our music teachers because they were so passionate about helping us learn to love music. They helped spark a love for listening to notes and voices and rhythms that continues to enrich our lives even today. Know what? I bet your kids feel the same way about music class. Ask them and make sure they get involved with music in school this year.
A PSA brought to you by MENC, the National Association for Music Education, and the National Anthem Project, the campaign to restore America's voice through music education. Music, part of a sound education.